Now, this is a little tricky because we've got, again, three ideas, three concepts. This is from the first chapter of Russell Goh, Character's Destiny. It says on page 3, not your personality, but your character is destiny. Okay, now we're going to have to work with this a little bit in order not to become confused. So we're going to have three things that we're going to need to talk about. Character, personality, and person. Because personality, the way Goh is talking about, is no shortcoming of his. He's just not using it to mean what we mean when we say person. I was very impressed with Matryoshka Sharon bringing up the difference between character and personality and talking about person. And everything that she said was fully orthodox and will be echoed by Vladimir Lasky, and I'll use him as the example to explain this. But first, let's get a grip on what Goh means by the difference between character and personality. He says the distinction is crucial. Okay, on page 6, he's going to talk about personality, and I'm going to make his talk about personality separate from his talk about character, because I think this is a very confusing chapter. I would rewrite it for him if I could. Psychologists began defining the self more narrowly in terms of personality traits. Okay, personality traits, what are they from this way of understanding personality? Such as assertiveness. Some of us are assertive, some of us are not very assertive. Self-esteem, compulsiveness, these are aspects of personality. There is a difficulty, Goh is saying, in that today, character is often used as a term that is actually a watered-down synonym, meaning the same thing as personality, character and personality. That's just their personality. That's just the way they are. It is the character of that particular person. And the old meaning of character is lost. It's just not talked about. It's an old-fashioned thing. We'll talk about it separately in a minute. So, for example, Goh writes, when we say something like, she has this type of character, in quotes, we usually will be describing a personality, that is to say, energetic and bubbly, or quiet and shy. Likewise, when we make a passing remark such as, he's a character, we usually will be pointing to a person's humorous or eccentric personality, a personality that especially sets the person off from other people in a highly distinctive way. Expressions, by the way, such as her strength of character, he is a person of character, and she has character, still typically convey some of the age-old meaning of character, which is a different sort of thing than personality. On page 8, the upshot of this is that many people have unfortunately gotten the impression that personality is destiny. As an entertainer, or as a professional personality. These professional personalities have been around for a while. Sharon and I were watching this thing about, what was the name?
Lily Langtry.
In the 1800s. She was what was called in London at that time a professional beauty. She didn't do anything. She was known for being beautiful and having a really engaging personality. And we still have this today. People who are on the cover, and sometimes really worthy people are on the cover of People magazine, so maybe I should say, but maybe Us. I mean, is anybody worthy here on the cover of Us? I'm not sure. There's one called
Self.
Professional personalities. And they are engaging personalities, TV personalities. But character? Do we even expect character from these personalities? And his point is that we may believe that personality is destiny because we think we can market our personality. I say, my problem is I just don't have the personality, you know, to get across or something. Market yourself, self-help books that focus on personality, personality development, that sort of thing, instead of character. And his point is, personality is not destiny. The age-old notion of character is destiny. Character is destiny. It's what your character is that is going to determine how things are going to turn out in your life. That's still true. And that's something that has not become untrue because of the coming of Christ. Our character is still our destiny, not our personality. Before the middle of this century, what we now think of as personality traits were always considered secondary to the kind of character you had, bottom of page 8. You are much more than your personality traits and much more than the genetic makeup bestowed upon you by Mother Nature. On page 9, There is no necessary causal connection between self-esteem and being a good person. It's a good comment. I wanted to include it. What somebody said the other day, there are two
kinds of
people who have high self-esteem.
Politicians and criminals.
Criminals have a high sense of self-esteem. They think they're really it. They are getting over on the world. High self-esteem doesn't necessarily have anything to do with character. It's a good point to be made. You and I, on page 11, cannot blame others for who and what we are. Now we're making a transition from talking about personality to talking about character. We must take responsibility for who and what we are presently, as well as who and what we hope to become. And now I want to go back to page 3 and repeat, not your personality, but your character is destiny. The distinction is crucial, and I want to follow through with an emphasis on the nature of character this time instead of personality, because I hope that we have a grip on what personality is. Character is the sum total of your habits, your personal assortment of virtues and vices. Historically, almost all cultures across time have used this understanding of character in this kind of way. Until the middle part of the 20th century, the 50s, ooh, maybe the beginning of the 60s. Something bad happened then? You know, I'm not sure. And on page 4, he says he wants to focus especially on the word ethos, just like I did last week. It is the Greek word from which we have derived our words ethics and ethical. Ethos is most often translated as character. Ethics is a matter, on page 5, of your personal character, of what kind of person you are inside, and it is not merely a matter of whether you follow the rules, because oftentimes, as you'll see, if you read the character's destiny, it will make you realize and recognize, rules are not sufficient to deal with all moral dilemmas. Now, it's not so bad as some people make out, that everything that comes up is a moral dilemma and you have to throw up your hands and say, well, values are relative. It just depends. That's not true.
But in fact, it may seem true to those of weak character.
Most situations, the vast majority of situations, you can deal with in a fairly straightforward kind of way if you have good character and the courage to act in a way that fits with
the universal and standard rules of decent behavior.
They will take care of 95% of the moral decisions you have to make in your life. But there are some choices sometimes where just following the rules isn't enough, where you are in a position where you are the moral agent. You are the one who is responsible to choose what to do. And it's unclear because we live in a broken world. We live in a world where sometimes we are forced to make choices that are not a choice between something good to do and something bad to do, but something good that's mixed with bad things along with it, and something else that's mixed good with something bad along with it. And which way you go is going to have consequences, and you have to choose. But the person of good moral character, that's the person you want making that choice. And that person is not going to be someone who just is someone who follows rules. That person will be someone for whom loving the good, loving the righteous, loving the best outcome is important. And so they will be kind of on the spot and torn this way and that way, but in the end they will make the choice, and that's what we're oftentimes responsible for. So sometimes it's not just a matter of following the rules. Now, following the rules can raise us up, develop character in us to the point that when we're confronted by that kind of situation, we can deal with it. But sometimes our habit of customary behavior is not sufficient. But right now we're focusing on not those very few situations. We're focusing on what does it take to build good character.
Our character becomes
what we do over and over again. What we repeatedly do. Go is quoting Aristotle's concise description of personal character. What is personal character? It is what we repeatedly do. If you do the right thing over and over and over and over again, you are developing character. You develop character by doing virtues, by doing virtuous things. So there's complete agreement there. It is this conception of character, with its deeply ethical connections to a person's individual habits, to a person's virtues and vices as well as to your future that ancient Greek cultures and almost all cultures in human history have largely agreed with until quite recently. He says, now we have moral dilemmas because we have bad character and we believe that everything is up for grabs and everything is relative, and the fact of the matter is that that is not the case. And finally, on page 15, he says this, character, understood in this way, implies the following. Number one, you, all of us, like all human beings, have the capacity to determine who you are in terms of your character or what you want to be or should be over and above what you are by nature. This point will come up again in Losky in just a minute. What you are in your essence has an inescapable ethical dimension. We cannot be who we are by doing things that are immoral. Doing things that are immoral will destroy who we are. Why? Because God created us that way. We are created in the image and likeness of God. And if we do things that are immoral, it will just make mincemeat out of us inside. So this is a matter of the reality of how things actually are, what it means to be a human being. You have, number three, the innate, the built-in ability to choose to be good. And those Christians who think we lost this with the fall are just, we don't even want to think about them anymore. We have at least one representative of Western Christianity that agrees with us that we have not lost our ability, our built-in ability to choose the good along with the fall. And Father Tom makes that point in his book on spirituality. So we're talking about spirituality. This is spiritual life. Number four, and you alone ultimately determine your own destiny. We choose. Preconceived destiny, forget about that. It's a confusion. We are able to determine our own destiny. We can choose God, we can choose the path of life, or we can choose the path that leads to death. What kind of God would say, there are two paths before you, the path of life and the path of death, and we don't actually have the ability to choose? That wouldn't make much sense. Even as adults, we do need the steadfast encouragement and example of others. And this is central to the character traditions of ancient China, ancient Greece, to have such an example. And of course, for many of us, others will most importantly mean a divine and transcendent other, God, the perfect moral being who represents the eternal wellspring of goodness, who makes our choice of destinies possible. There is nothing there that we as Orthodox would disagree with. But what we would add to it as Orthodox is that not only is God this ultimate moral example, Jesus, the Christ, makes it possible for us to act in harmony with God's divinity in a way that we were always meant to do, so that his characteristics or qualities are the way we act. We are living in Christ. You can't erase that moral dimension. I mean, what would be left? We were talking about faith and works last week. At this point, the way we're talking now, faith and works are so much entwined, you can't pull them apart. They are absolutely together. Faith and faithfulness to God and acting with God's goodness as the fulfillment of our human virtues that we follow. How do you separate that into faith and works? Faith and works are the same in terms of the actions that human beings undertake that are divine-like actions. And it doesn't matter, even if it's not a Christian, someone who is living in this kind of way is living in a way that is like God. St. Paul says about the Greeks, they are a law unto themselves. And I don't know what we think. I hate to even think about how we might interpret that these days. Like we're giving some kind of blank check to individuals to be a law unto themselves. If people identify with it that way, they've completely misunderstood it. How could they be a law unto themselves? Because they're human beings, just like us. The reality of their moral and spiritual lives is the same as the reality of our own moral and spiritual lives. We don't want to make an exception of ourselves and say, well, we're Orthodox Christians, but I don't know about any of the rest of the people who have existed in the past before Christianity or are in Western Christianity. You know, I don't know about them. Let's not talk about what they mean by goodness and morality and all that. Yeah, let's talk about it. There is continuity. between what it means to be a human being, always, everywhere, in all places, and what it means to be a Christian who actually is living a life in Christ that is a divine human life. There is continuity there. And then finally, you and I as adults cannot blame others for who and what we are. We must take responsibility for who and what we presently are, as well as what we hope to become. Now, we have a distinction, a working distinction, between character and personality. But Sharon was saying something last week that was more interesting than just the definition of personality that Go wants to make sure that we don't confuse with the nature of character. So, in Losky, there are two places where he talks about person. And I'm not suggesting that people just run right out and get this and read. This is a very, very tough book. I've been reading in and out of this book for a very, very long time. And, you know, it's a good book, but it could take the top of your head off in a page or two. Our ideas, I'm on page 53, our ideas of human personality, of that personal quality which makes every human being unique, this idea of person comes to us from Christian theology, from Christian teaching. The philosophy of antiquity, the Greeks and the Romans, knew only human individuals. So this vision of being a person, he's saying, is a Christian idea. Didn't exist before the incarnation of Christ.
Now let's not get confused here. What Christians mean by being a person goes beyond what the universal wisdom tradition would call being a human being. Being a person is something more specific, more particular, and it only really can be fully understood within the context of Christianity. And when I say Christianity, in this particular case, I have to mean Orthodox Christianity. To be a true human person, it is necessary, of course, to be a human being, but it's not enough. It is necessary to be an individual human being, but it's not enough.
What Christians mean by person, it's unique to Christianity. The human person cannot be expressed in concepts. What does it mean to be a person? It escapes all definitions. Personality. Now he goes ahead and uses this term, but he's not talking about what Go is talking about. He's talking about being a person. He's talking about it the way Sharon was talking about it. Personality can only be grasped in this life by a direct intuition. You can know other human beings. We can know, I always say, you can know those that you love. People you don't love are invisible to you. We can know other human beings. It can only be expressed in a work of art. When we say this is by Mozart or this is by Rembrandt, we are in both cases dealing with something that has to come from a person. Human beings, persons produce that kind of thing. It's a creation. We are like the Creator. We are created by God, and we are, Tolkien calls it sub-creation, so as not to confuse it with the kind of creation God does out of nothing. And yet, human persons are isolated. We are isolated as persons from one another. And in the words of St. John of Damascus, do not exist the one within the other. While in the Holy Trinity, it is quite reverse. The persons, the apostasies, dwell in one another. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons, dwell in one another. We don't. Our experience as persons is that we are separate from one another. We are isolated from one another. Christ overcomes that isolation, makes us one with Him, and one with one another through Him. The divine persons, you don't have them. And then, on page 121, in a certain sense, individualism. You know, I'm always preaching against individualism. You know, people have asked me why even sometimes. Well, because we're Americans. In a certain sense, individual and person mean opposite things. The word individual expressing a certain mixture of the person with things that belong to the common nature of human beings as human beings. Don't worry if you don't completely follow what he just said. While person, on the other hand, means that which makes us different from nature. In other words, a human person is more than just what you find in the natural world, even among animals. Animals have personality.
Personality here in Go's sense, particular emotional dispositions, etc.
But they are not persons. God creates us in a particular kind of way as human persons. Later on he says, the natural world does not produce persons. You can't grow a person. Evolution cannot produce a person.
You can't develop a person. You can develop character, but you can't develop personhood.
When we wish to define, that is to characterize, when we wish to characterize a person, we might try to gather together individual characteristics, which, because they belong to nature, are never absolutely personal. Finally, we admit, Lasky's making another distinction I don't want to follow, because it would get even more confusing. Finally, we admit that what is most dear to us in someone, what makes him himself or her herself, remains undefinable. If you love a person, you love that person. That's what you love. And if you try to figure out, well, why do I love this person? You're not going to be able to figure it out. Because you love the person. It's not like anything else. You are a person loving a person. You can't reduce it to a set of, well, these are things that I like. You can find all those things somewhere else. But you won't find the same person, because persons are unique. There we go. Finally, we admit that what is most dear to us in someone, what makes him himself or her herself, remains undefinable, for there is nothing in nature which properly explains the person, which is always unique and incomparable. And the human being who is governed by and acts in the strength of his natural qualities is the least personal. So if we are ruled by our passions, our characteristic passions and desires, we will become less of a person, because we will be dominated by something that is like a force that controls us. We're meant to be free. Such a person, who is governed by the strength of their own natural qualities, sets themselves up as an individual, the ruler, the proprietor, the owner of his or her own nature, which he pits against the natures of others and regards as his me. This is who I really am. It's not. It's a lie. It's not who we are. Thereby confusing person and nature. So now you have a conflict between beings that have reduced themselves down to the passions and passionate character of a natural world. We've become non-personal, ruled by necessity, which all things in nature are ruled by, we get, at least in the broken world that we live in. This happens because that happens, and it's, well, you did this to me, so I'm going to do this to you. This confusion, which is found in fallen humanity, has a special name in the ascetical writings of the Eastern Church, atois philiantia, or in Russian, this will help us really understand it, samost, which can best be perhaps translated by the word egoism. That one we understand. So atois refers to yourself. Egoism. So if we confuse our natural selves, ourselves as we are made out of the stuff of this God-created world we are made out of, if we identify with ourselves as a collection of passions, desires, needs, and we say, this is the real me, we will be egoists. And we'll lose our experience of ourselves as persons. The idea of person implies freedom from this nature. The person is free from its nature, is not determined by it. We can only realize ourselves by renouncing the will that comes from that false identification with our own ego, our passionate desire to do what we want. If that's who we think we really are, we are going to be in chains. We are going to be bound. We are not going to be free. We are going to be pushed around by the passions and emotions that roil around in us, the way the elements of the natural world combine to make a storm, a hurricane, or a tornado. That will be what our inner life is like if we make this mistake. The human person can only realize itself by renouncing that will that comes from those passions and desires, renouncing its governing of us and its making us subject to natural necessity. The assertion of the self, in which the person is confused with nature and loses its true liberty, must be broken. And this is the root principle of asceticism. This is why we fast. A free renunciation of one's own will, a free choice to reject the mere pretense of individual liberty, pretend person, pretending to be a person, aping, sometimes it's said, like a monkey, dressing up like a person, imitating habits that we think people have. That's the kind of action that we reduce ourselves to. We reject that pretending to be a person for the reality. That's repentance, frankly. In order to recover the true freedom, the true liberty, that of the person which is the image of God in each one. Now, that's what we mean by person. And Lasky, Vladimir Lasky, uses the word personality, but only to refer to the unique personality of every unique human person. His use of the term person goes way beyond what Goh is talking about when he talks about personality. And I wanted to get that out. That is my major accomplishment for this week. Once again, I ask you to forgive me for how long it took to accomplish that. And maybe you can see why I encourage you to re-listen to these things. These are difficult things to pull together. But they make sense if you pay attention to them. And if you hear them two or three times, I always read everything at least three times, sometimes more, sometimes many more.